you remember? Anybody? Anybody remember here going through a storm that it was so terrifying that you would never forget? Thank you, Mr. Zurich, for reminding us one of those moments in your life that were quite frightening. Anybody remember a storm in your life that you went through? Yes, do you remember one?
Yes, I lived in Oklahoma, and there's a tornado come through.
Okay. Oh my goodness. Where was that again?
In Oklahoma.
Oh, in Oklahoma. Wow. A storm that even moved the garage away and moved everything. You're safe. Those are terrifying, aren't they? Anybody else has gone through a storm that you remember? Yes. I love when the young people participate. Yes. You remember going through a tornado? Oh my goodness. Where was it?
In Indiana.
Was it a big one? Where did you hide?
In the basement.
In the basement. Was everything okay after that? Yes? Okay, anybody else? Anybody else remember going through a storm? Yes. I love when the young kids participate. Yes, Carianna. Camping in the mountain. Oh, okay. So you were with your dad in the mountains. And the thunderstorm came too. Lots of showering. Okay, wow. Those are terrifying, aren't they? Well, any actually real storm stories here? Those are great, but any other ones? You have one too.
We were in a sailboat going to Catalina.
Sailboat in Catalina, okay.
Big wind came up and it broke the mast.
Oh my goodness.
Fell down. And we called on a radio, and they sent a destroyer over to shoot a line to our boat and hook onto us, and it dug us into the water all the way back.
Oh my goodness, that might be terrifying, isn't that right? Well, I'm pretty sure we all remember storms that we have gone through in our lives, and none of your stories compared to mine, actually. I'm just kidding. It's terrifying, isn't it? But I remember the worst and most terrifying storm I have ever gone through in my life. This was during the winter of 2010. I was driving on a road, a parallel to 111 in Imperial Valley. The 111 is the one that actually goes all the way down to Mexico. So I lived in the last town before Mexico called Calexico, and there was a parallel road called a Bowker Road. And I used to use that road because there was no lights in there, only three stop signs for about 12 to 15 miles. And I could go around the churches and the places that I had to go back and forth in about 7 minutes. It was really fast. But I remember one day driving on that barren road. Not many trees, one tree every mile or so. I remember seeing on that road, you know, the dust-cropping airplanes flying all over the place, right in the middle of the fields. And I remember one day driving in that road, and sometimes I drove quite fast in that road. But that special day, I remember the clouds, and everything was dark. It was an afternoon, and I was driving from Calexico, my home, to one of our churches in the afternoon. And I suddenly realized that everything was so dark, and I thought a storm was coming that way, but then I realized that it was not an actual storm that was coming. It was actually an internal storm that was taking place, and it was just about to burst. It was just about to come out with mighty and power. I remember during those days, I shouldn't be saying this, and some people told me, you shouldn't be saying private stuff, but I want you to understand that I'm just a human being like you are, and sometimes the difference between me and you is about 5 feet away. And I remember a very difficult financial situation that we're going through during those days. And some of you are like, yeah, I know what you're saying. Well, yeah, everybody's going to financial difficulties. But that was a real financial difficulty, if you can understand what I'm talking about. There was also another problem. Not only we had financial difficulties that we had to deal with, but I was also coming to an end of a working visa after living in this country for many, many, many years. And then if something would not happen fast, I was not only going to not be able to pay my bills, but I was certainly going to lose my job. And I remember driving on that road, sometimes driving over 60, 70 miles an hour to my late appointments. And that day I was driving like 20 miles an hour. And I start talking to God and I start screaming and I start yelling. I do not remember in my life a time that I cried so bad in my life. I had an appointment. I had to go to one of our churches in El Centro in an afternoon. After a Sabbath morning service, I took my family back home. We had lunch together and I had to rush to another church. And in that afternoon, I had nothing to say to our young people. I was empty. I was a fake. A man that dedicated his life to study the Word of God and to serve God. A man that was going through a moment that expressed so much lack of faith. And I remember crying with some certain fear. I remember screaming at God and yelling at God and telling God, I have dedicated my life to serve you, Lord. And where are you? When are you going to show up in my life? And when are you going to perform miracles in my life that will take myself and my family out of this situation? Well, as sad as it may sound, I start talking to my dear wife. As you already know, I run all my sermons through her, and she's the one that keeps me in balance. So if you don't like my messages, you can talk to her. But only to be fair, there are a lot of stuff that I say on my sermons that she says, you know, you shouldn't say that. So only to be fair. But I'm here to tell you that after studying the Word of God for a while, I came across a story that you probably already know that is found in the Gospel of Mark that really was an aha moment in my life. A story, as I told you, that when I was reading my Bible, I felt like the Word of God was actually talking to me. I have these experiences at times when I feel like the Word of God is talking specifically to me and grabbing a hold of me and saying, read this again, read it again, and read it again. And the promise here today is that I believe that this story and this principle, I believe that if you apply this principle in your life, I believe that this experience can be life-changing. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for a principle from the Word of God that can definitely change your life? If you are, let me tell you a little bit about the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark is believed to be written somewhere around the time of the destruction of Jerusalem. If you know a little bit about the destruction of Jerusalem, you understand why Mark uses most of his stories to show people the identity of Christ that the disciples and most people at this point, they still do not know who Christ is. And Mark also uses the stories of Jesus, and he crafts the story in such a beautiful way that shows the people that whether they are going through the storm, whether they are going through the destruction of Jerusalem temple, Jesus Christ, the suffering Messiah, also had gone through so much suffering in his life. And Mark, from beginning to end, he wants you to understand that Jesus Christ, in the end, overcomes every single one of the difficulties that you are going through and that the disciples and the church of God were going through. It's a beautiful way that Mark crafts all these stories. Mark chapter 3 talks about stories of when people came to Jesus saying, your mother and your sister and your brothers, they're calling for you. And the Bible says that Jesus was actually in in a group of people, talking to them and ministering to them. And probably those people, they are outcasts, unchurched, uncircumcised people. These people are people that are not a part of the Jewish faith. These people are probably some slaves that got away or some slaves that were freed. And imagine how Jesus is talking to these people. These people that would never accomplish anything in their lives because the way the society runs in the first century. And imagine how when they come and ask for Jesus and say, your mother, your brothers, and your sisters, they're asking for you. Imagine how Jesus looking for that Gentile, for that slave, for that woman, for that barren woman that was divorced by her husband because she couldn't have any kids. Imagine Jesus looking at a woman like that and saying, this is my mother. These are my brothers and sisters. These are the ones who do the will of God. Imagine the impact of Jesus telling people, outcasts, that you now are a part of the kingdom of God. You're part of my kingdom. So many stories that take place in the Gospel of Mark. The mustard seed story, if you have a faith like a mustard seed, you can do incredible things in the name of God. Another parable about the growing seed, that the kingdom of God can be like a small, tiny little growing seed that when it grows, it becomes a huge tree that would house many birds and animals and nests. Jesus are telling these political stories, and many people who would listen to this kind of stories, they know that Jesus is setting himself up for a big storm. People are not going to be happy about the stories that Jesus is telling. And then we see in Mark chapter 4, the story about Jesus stilling the storm that you probably know so well. If you want to turn to your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. This is what it says. We're going to read it again. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose. And the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? It's kind of interesting how people read scriptures and how people have different understandings when it comes to reading the Word of God. And many times the Word of God speaks to people at different levels, at different understandings. And talking to my wife about this story yesterday, I told my wife that because of the prayer, because of the crying, only so that you know, my wife told me, make sure that you tell them. After talking to my wife told me, make sure that you tell them that whatever happens a few days after your beautiful story, make sure that you tell them that you solved, that we solved the financial problem. Make sure that you tell them that after a few days after you're telling these stories, make sure that you tell them that you got a call from the conference saying, Gilbert, don't worry about it. Everything is in place. We know you. We are going to take care of you. And we have already applied for your legal residency. And I was like, what? And here I am driving on Bowker Road and yelling at God and screaming at God. And my wife told me, make sure that you tell them. Make sure that you tell them that not only you think that the reason you got everything you got was because you're praying and yelling at God, but make sure that you tell them. Are you ready for this? My wife told me, make sure that you tell them that the reason that you're crying, The reason that you're yelling at God, the reason that you're screaming at God, the reason that you're getting in the face of God was because, Gilbert, you are the one who had no faith. Who are you to tell God that you dedicated your life to serve Him? And who are you to tell God that God was not going to take care of you? And my wife told me this too, and I did not realize until after talking to her. She said, do you realize that the storm was not even a storm in your life? Do you realize that you were creating a storm in your life and you're living through it because you had created the storm even before the storm hit? And I told my wife and I said, but we have to pray about this thing. She said, yes, we have to pray about it. But you also have to realize that when you are in a storm, when you are in a big trouble, then you come to God. You are not even in a storm. She does not even remember the stuff. And I told her, do you remember me going like 2-3 nights without sleep? She's like, no. I was like, weren't you concerned? We had to go back to Brazil. She said, yay. Whatever happens, we will survive. We'll stick together. Whatever happens, God will bless us. So when everything starts falling in place and the financial problems start, you know, fixing itself, and when the visa came, and my wife said, do you see it? God long ago was already taking care of you. You are the one who had no faith, she told me. You probably have gone through a lot of storms in your life, physical storms, emotional storms. But let me tell you something. I think it's hard to believe that someone like the disciples in a little boat with Jesus would not be calling God for dear life in a situation like that. The three Gospels talk about the story. They have different ways of telling the story, but the bottom line is they are going to die. And the Gospel of Mark especially says that the boat was already filling up with water. And at this time, when they cannot do anything anymore, they remember to call on Jesus. And they wake Him up. Don't you care that we are perishing? Don't you care that we're going to die? And you see in the Gospel of Mark what Jesus does. Jesus stands up, He rebukes the wind, He rebukes the storm and everything. And the Bible says that peace came. And Jesus looks at the disciples and He tells them, you still have no faith. I asked my wife, then I said, what can be worse than being a storm like mine? Not a real storm, according to her. I said, what can be worse than being a storm like the disciples were physically with Jesus in that storm? What can be worse than that? You know what my wife told me? My wife said, the worst thing that we can do is to create storms in our lives and starting to curse our own future when we do not believe that God is powerful, when we do not believe that God can do it, when we do not believe that God is in the boat, that Jesus is in the boat with us, when we do not believe to the point of doing everything we can to solve our own problems without believing that God is real, that Jesus is real, that we can call upon Him. She said, that's the worst part. I have a cousin in Brazil that he has all sorts of different kinds of diseases. Somebody mentions it, he gets it. As a Christian, we're not supposed to be like that. Do you understand what I'm saying? How many of you are afraid of dying of a disease like cancer, for example? Some people are afraid of dying of a disease that they don't even have it. I was talking to a young lady not long ago, and she was telling me, God cannot forgive my sins. I have lived a horrible life growing up. God cannot forgive my sins. I'll never forgive myself. A person that attends church, and I had to ask her, is Jesus Christ a liar? And she said, excuse me? I said, is Jesus Christ a liar? And she said, I don't think so. And I said, every time you continue to live your life after asking Jesus to forgive you, and you continue to live in that mind setting that you are nothing, that you are not worth it, that He has not forgiven your sins, you're calling Jesus Christ a liar. Because he said that when you ask, when you confess, in my name, I will forgive you. New life. Yesterday night, we were here at church practicing and talking to my friend Lucas, talking to him a little bit about the message and what I was going to talk about it. He started playing a song that he himself wrote. That I went home and I had to go home and sing the song to my wife, Lucas. I don't think she liked it much, but I had to go home and sing the song to my wife. And I'm going to ask you to listen to this beautiful song that this man of God has written, acknowledging the presence of God in his life, acknowledging that we all have shortcomings. And I want to ask you to please think about this. If you have dedicated your life to serve God, if you have dedicated your life to follow the steps of Jesus, if you have been baptized, if you have already accepted that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, why then you would not believe that even when the storms come, that he's in the boat, and you shall not call him as your last resource. You should call him first in your life, because he's waiting for you. He's waiting for you to call so he can manifest his incredible power and show you that he is the Lord of lords and the God Almighty, the King of kings. And I want you to think about this.
Thank you.
If you are going through a storm in your life, and if you had forgotten about who is in the boat, I pray and I ask that you're never going to forget this principle found in the Gospel of Mark, that even though storms may come, do not forget the one who is in the boat, just ready to stretch out his hands and with mighty power call the winds, call the lightning, call the waves that sometimes are even filling up your boat, and order them to come into peace. If you're going through a storm in your life, so many people are, I would like to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come up here, but I'm going to ask you to stand up, and I would like to have a special prayer for you, that God will continue to lead you, that the Spirit of God will continue to bother your mind, that the Spirit of God will continue to make Himself present in your life, that you remember that He can, that He's the Almighty, that He's powerful. And when you come upon that beautiful name, that powerful name, He will call and demand peace in your life as well. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, forgive us for many times, for the many times that we have forgotten that you have promised us that you would be in the boat with us. Forgive us, Lord Jesus, for the many times that we had no faith in you. Forgive us for the many times that we have forgotten who you are, the Almighty, the Powerful, the Creator, and the Sustainer of all things. And forgive us, Lord, that sometimes we allow you to sleep in our lives, and we complain that you are asleep in our lives, that you have no power. So we pray, Jesus, please help us to be awakened. Help us to be alive. Help us to be spiritually alive, so that when the storms come, we will remember that you're close enough. You're inside of the boat, just ready to stretch your arms, talk to nature, and calm the winds and the storms in our lives. Lord Jesus, there are many things happening in our church, many people suffering. There are people that are having their families that are going to difficult surgeries and life-threatening surgeries. People that are sick in our church, people that have lost their jobs and looking for jobs. People that have lost their homes. There's so much pain at times in our church, in our families, Lord. And I pray today that they all remember today that even if the storm comes, that they will remember that you are in that boat with us, Lord Jesus. Bless this church. Bless our families. Bless Angie, Jack, that she's going to be traveling. She's going to be gone during the summer. Be with her as she's visit family, and we're going to miss her. And may you give her traveling mercies as well, Lord. Be with other people that are sick in this church. Be with Marie that is in India with her mother that is sick. Be with Terry's sister as well, Lord. May they all experience the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives, that He is able to calm the storm. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you.